Welcome to the Sargassum Podcast, where we learn about the latest ideas and concepts about sargassum. This podcast is funded by the Resilience, Sustainable Energy and Marine Biodiversity Program, RESMBIT. It's financed under the 11th European Development Fund, EDF, Caribbean Overseas Countries and Territories Regional Program. RESMBIT is being implemented by expertise grants, with primary stakeholders being the 12 Caribbean Overseas Countries. Let's get ready to learn together. Welcome everybody to today's episode of the Sargassum Podcast. It's Jenna and I today. So Jenna, how have you been in the last few weeks?
Pretty good. Yeah, it's getting warm here where I live in California. So it's been nice. A little change from all the Pineapple Expresses and all the rains that we had over the winter. And summer's in full swing. I'm just getting prepared to start school in the fall, and it's coming a lot quicker than I was expecting it to. So, but I'm doing well. How about you?
Yeah, I mean, it's scorching hot here in Mexico, to be honest. It's about 35 Celsius, which I think is 95 Fahrenheit, pretty much every day, and humidity on top. So it feels a lot hotter, and we are sweating a lot here. There isn't as much sargassum as you would think for July. So July is normally the peak season, right? But the currents aren't bringing it really towards Mexico. So we're kind of lucky here in Mexico to have low sargassum right now. And from what I've heard or seen with the bulletins as well, sargassum has actually not increased that much this summer. So it increased very much in spring and started really early. And everybody thought we're going to have a record summer. But then between May and June, and I think also between June and July, there was actually a decrease in the sargassum belt, which we have never seen before. So I don't know if it has to do with the El Nino year and the really hot ocean temperatures. But yeah, sargassum keeps amazing us, and we learn every year that we don't know that much about the cycle.
Right. And we are supposed to have an El Nino here in the Pacific happening until next fall, even in 2024, it sounds like what's predicted. So we'll see what the sargassum does sort of as a response to that by you guys.
So let's get to our guests. Today we've got Luisa Fletchers here. She works as a business developer in TNO Energy and Material Transition Unit. And she works on bio-based and circular technologies since the last 3 years. Her background is in chemical engineering and sustainable energy system management. And her role in this initiative we're going to talk about is to lead the activities for sargassum valorization for the TNO Living Lab project. Just a little bit about TNO. It is an independent and applied research organization in the Netherlands. And the mission is to connect people and knowledge to create innovation. They're working on a healthier, safer, and more sustainable life. Welcome to the podcast, Luisa.
Thanks for having me.
Yes, welcome, Luisa. So on our podcast, we start every episode asking the guests the same question, which is, what is sargassum to you?
Well, sargassum to me is a threat and is an opportunity. As we know, sargassum can pose a challenge, a negative impact in coastal environments. We see it right now in the Caribbean, for instance. We see large quantities of sargassum that wash ashore and affecting the ecosystem, the tourism, and different activities. As well, sargassum is an opportunity because, despite of these challenges, can also offer the opportunity to have an alternative feedstock or source that where we can process, where we can obtain fertilizers, animal feed, or we can use it for cosmetics and pharmaceuticals. Of course, sargassum as such is a valuable habitat for fish and for the marine species. So I think it's a contrast, yin and yang.
Yes, I think that is a very good explanation what sargassum is, and more people do see that yin and yang side of it as well. My question is, TNO is a research institution in the Netherlands. So how, from the Netherlands, did you get involved in finding solutions to the sargassum problem?
So TNO in the group of bio-based and circular technologies, here we have worked for more than a decade looking into seaweed research, developing process and techniques for extraction, working around the cascade valorization of different species. So sargassum is one of them. So the idea here is to look into the bright side of sargassum, to the opportunities to develop the future of biorefinery.
Yes, the bright side of sargassum. So you already were working with sargassum, or at least it was sort of on the list of algae that you were looking into, or seaweeds. What are you currently working on then in regards to sargassum specifically?
So right now we are working in a project called Living Lab for Curaçao. So this is a joint research program where we want to support Curaçao's sustainable agenda. So here we want to consider the triple helix valorization. So we work together with public-private partners, with the government, and with the research centers, well, in this case, TNO, and also with the University of Curaçao. And we are trying to look, we want to exchange knowledge, we want to change this expertise around sargassum and develop new value chains that support the economic growth of the country. So here also in the Living Lab, we want to find ways on how to scale up, let's say have a biorefinery concept. We want to be successful as well in trying to support, let's say, the ABC Islands together. Yeah.
So so what is your actual role as TNO in Curaçao? Like, are you going to have people there the whole year round, or how are you helping Curaçao in particular?
Yeah, so the first goal of this project was to identify the strategic framework, first identifying who were the strategic partners, considering the government, the public and partnerships, also the research factors, but most important, the population. So we wanted to work around this framework and trying to identify how sargassum will affects the daily life of people living in the islands. So what we did here was to first analyze or identify the key value chains for Curaçao, considering the strategic plan of the country. So we see that there was there are three pillars that we wanted to study. So one, the first one, it was related to bioenergy. Second, biorefinery, and third, also looking into possibly the the chains around pharmaceutical or other materials. So we needed to have these three pillars and understand the different factors, and then bring the project forward. So so this was the first stage that we developed together with other partners from Curaçao in the Netherlands.
And did you go to Curaçao to meet with people? Is that, was that part of this stage one?
So for the stage one of the project, we assess all these, as I say, the business cases of the value chains. And then after that, yes, I went to the island last year in August, and I have the opportunity to meet the stakeholders of this project. And one of them, someone who also has been part of this Sargassum podcast, Javier Diaz, he took me around the island, especially to Boca Ascension, when we I was able to see the impact of Sargassum in this side of the country. So by looking at this, well, I was able to have a better understanding of how sargassum can be detrimental for biodiversity and how affects the population living nearby. So then I also have the opportunity in the same time, I mean, the same month, to go to Mexico as well. There was a interesting materials congress where there was a section of the program dedicated to sargassum. So you can see, I was able to see the different outlets for sargassum in regards to materials, pharmaceutical, and also to understand what other what Mexico is doing in regards to this. So I think for me also was valuable to bring this, let's say, knowledge and experience to the current project, and also trying to give or to show that to Curaçao that they are not the only ones affected by this, but it's also a large community in the coasts of the Caribbean that are facing the same challenges.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a wonderful opportunity to be able to share, like you said, knowledge and spread information. That's wonderful. In Curaçao, they were using mostly just fossil fuels for energy and fuel. Is that, and they were looking to change into like a biofuel situation?
So the idea here, currently Curaçao the energy matrix of Curaçao is mainly depends on imports of oil and gas due to the current infrastructure of the refinery. Is not optimal, is not currently working. So Curaçao also is looking into the future, and this means having a bioenergy or renewable energy in the island. And the idea was to look into all these concepts of waste to energy. So in this case, you know, sargassum has this versatility. In this case, you have the fresh sargassum that can be processed into biomaterials or chemicals or pharmaceuticals, versus the waste sargassum that or the offshore sargassum that can actually be processed into bioenergy by using biodigesters. So yeah, the idea was to have an outlet in this field for sargassum.
That sounds like something that will not only profit Curaçao, but if you are successful in doing it in Curaçao, It can also be a pilot for other Caribbean islands who have exactly the same problem, that they're still using a lot of fossil fuels for energy and transport, and that they could potentially use sargassum to make those fuels rather than importing it at a costly price. You said that Javier showed you around Curaçao. So I just want to hear from you as well. We've already heard from him back in the day how sargassum affects Curaçao, but what are your thoughts? Like, how is sargassum affecting Curaçao? What is happening on the island?
So sargassum can have several impacts on the island. One of them is affects the tourism and the beaches. We saw that lots of sargassum influx can impact this industry, and we know and all these related activities. So affecting the island economy. And number two, we also know that sargassum affects the coastal, the ecosystem. So we can, so we know that a lot of marine life, mainly, let's say, turtles, sea turtles, are being affected by these washes, and which accumulates in these shallow waters, and here can smother the animals. In regards to fishing and aquaculture as well, so we see that we know that fishing is also one of the main activities here, so affects also these fish farms and these the people that lives around these areas, and also considering and also other factories in regards to the coastal infrastructure, because we know that you have as well navigation, you have boats, also people who live. One of the main activities is tourism as well. So taking, let's say, tourists around boats, around the island on boats, that also affects the navigation. So you can see that there are different challenges that the island is facing. And that's what I noticed there, especially in the area of the northern part of the island in Boca Ascension, where you can see the great impact.
Jenna, you want to ask the last question?
Okay. What are the next steps forward to get the project off the ground then, now that you've been there and you've seen, you know, what it actually looks like and spoken with the stakeholders, and what's happening next?
So what happens next is we want to submit our continue with our proposal. We know that one of the main challenges that we face, or many stakeholders face, rather say, is the funding part. So we know that here we need to kind of unite. Unity makes a strength. So we need to find a way of how we can find this support, this regional and international support to develop these projects. Because let's remember that it's not only one region, but it's also the world that is being affected by, higher temperatures, global warming. We can see these changes. So sargassum is the result of this. So I think we need more support to tackle these sargassum influxes. So I think that's the next step, trying to allocate or to find the funding, the vehicle to continue with a project that will end up in having a pilot for bioenergy. That's what we want to do.
Hopefully we have some listeners on here that might want to collaborate with you. That would be really wonderful.
Yeah, that would be great, definitely. And we don't want to leave this just on a in a single project. We also want to have this long-term sustainable goal, you know, they're trying to continue with these efforts and trying to support the economy of Curaçao and potentially the region in the future, trying to find an outlet.
Yes, I think it's always, it's so exciting to hear about all the things people can do with sargassum, and it's so disheartening to know that a lot of these things have not gone off the ground just because of funding, because there is enough money in the world to do this. But
yes,
it's just about finding those people with money who want to invest into this or the grants. And that is always hard to get. Seems like the money is not going to the right places, and sometimes, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think it's very important to advocate for the increased support and the resources that are needed in a regional and international level. So collaborating not only with the Caribbean countries, but also extending these partnerships to share knowledge and also to secure the research fund to reach this sustainable goal.
Perfect. I think, Luisa, we've come to the end of our interview, unless Jenna has another question. No, she doesn't. So I want to thank you so much for taking the time and talk to us. I think it was very interesting. And I hope our listeners also enjoyed the conversation we just had.
Well, thank you very much for inviting me, and let's continue our mission.
Yes.
Absolutely. Thank you, Luisa.
Thank you both.
So, Jenna, what did you take away from our conversation with Luisa?
I have to say, first, I really appreciated her description of sargassum. Like you said, that was perfect. Like the yin yang, it's just up and down. It's here and there. It's positive, it's negative, and you kind of have to take the swings and find the wins. And I loved that that was her attitude from the beginning.
Yes. And I also like that, you know, we've talked to two other people or three other people, because we had two people in one of the interviews from Curaçao, about, you know, the impacts the sargassum has on nature, how those bocas or bays fill up with sargassum, and how there's fish dying and turtles need to get rescued. So I'm also excited to hear that the government of Curaçao, together with the TNO Living Lab, are actually looking into making something with the sargassum and lessening that impact. And I hope it works out. I hope they really get to do this. And it also has other positive impacts. It's like a win-win, right? Like if they're able to make biofuels out of the sargassum, then they're not as dependent anymore on fossil fuels that they have to import that are expensive, that in a lot of Caribbean countries make electricity very expensive. So I really hope that they do get the partners and the funding together to make this a reality, and it doesn't just become is a little research, a desk research project.
Exactly. Yeah. I think they're on the right track, looking for collaborators and taking the approach that it's really a global issue, you know, and something that people can share in successes. So absolutely.
Yeah. And if they get to do the first pilot there and it works, then I'm sure it will multiply into other Caribbean nations pretty fast, hopefully.
Yeah, that's exciting.
Yeah, so I think we're done for today. Thank you, listeners, to listen to our podcast. I hope you learned something today about the beautiful island of Curaçao and about TNO and their living lab. And we hope that you listen again in about 2 weeks when the next podcast comes out.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Thank you for tuning in today and learning with us from our guests. If you want more information about what our guests talked about today, please check our show notes for links and information in our archives. And don't forget to like and share our podcast with your friends.
The Sargassum podcast is made possible through funding by the Resilient Sustainable Energy and Marine Biodiversity Program, RESENBIF, financed under the 11th European Development Fund, EDF, Caribbean Overseas Countries and Territories Regional Program. RESENBIF is being implemented by Expertise France, with the primary stakeholders being the 12 Caribbean Overseas Countries and Territories. The podcast is produced by Paola Diaz, Mario Garcia Rodriguez, Cleo Maridakis, and Elois Lopez, and it is hosted by Francisca Elmer, Jenna Contucchio, Florence Menes, Cleo Maridakis, Evelyn Salas, and Paola Diaz. We will be back in 2 weeks with another exciting guest. The music of the podcast is from the song Them A Pray by Drizzle, the Road Runner, an artist from Roatan. Follow him on Spotify or YouTube for more music.